In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Dear brethren, the great Saint Jerome said that to ignore the Holy Scriptures is to ignore Christ Himself, because Christ is the Word of God made flesh. To ignore the Scriptures is to ignore Christ Himself. Yet, some people have this strange idea that the Scriptures are for the Jews or for the Protestants, and that the Catholic Church has nothing or little to do with the Bible. Well, that's heresy. It's true, the Word of God was indeed with the Jews. But when our Lord Jesus Christ came, He took the Holy Scriptures from the hands of the synagogue, and He gave them to His church as a treasure of inestimable value. So the church became, by the will of our Lord Himself, the only lawful guardian, the only lawful guardian of the Word of God. Therefore, only the Catholic Church has the right and the authority to teach the nations in the name of God. The Jews lost this authority, and the Protestants never had it. Luther simply stole the Bible when he divorced from the Catholic Church. In this way, my brethren, we have to know that the Holy Scriptures belong to us. The Bible is ours. And we are all called to cherish this precious treasure, a treasure that we received from God Himself. And that's why the liturgy of the church, from the beginning to the end, is all embroidered with words of the Holy Scriptures, like a very fine tapestry. Like a very fine tapestry. Every day, the Holy Church invites us to enter in contact with the inspired Word of God, which has the power to teach, to correct our behavior, and to instruct us in the way to heaven. So, my brethren, let us take a look at the readings that the Church gives us today and see what she has to teach us today through the Holy Scriptures. In the Epistle to the Galatians, St. Paul talks about Abraham and his two sons. He says, "It is written that Abraham had two sons, one from the slave and one from the free woman. The one born from the slave was born according to the flesh, but the one born from the free woman was born according to the promise of God. And here we have to be attentive, because St. Paul says that these things are spoken in figure, allegorically, meaning that this story hides a mystery. And it is St. Paul himself who gives us the key to understand the mystery. The two sons of Abraham represent the two testaments. The son of the slave, Ishmael, is a figure of the Old Testament. And the son of the free woman, Isaac, is a figure of the New Testament. Ishmael represents the synagogue of the Jews, while Isaac represents the Church of Christ. Ishmael was born first and enjoyed all the favors of his father until the coming of Isaac. Because when the son of the promise appeared, the son of the flesh was obliged to give him his place. In the same way, the Jews were the people of God until the coming of the Messiah. But because they rejected Christ, so they lost their inheritance. And the church became the new people of God, the new and true Israel, and replaced the synagogue. Just like what happened with the two sons of Abraham, the new covenant replaced the old covenant. Our Lord Jesus Christ declared that the old law was to rule until John the Baptist. But after John, it was to be replaced. So the old law was to be replaced, but not in the sense that it would be abolished, but in the sense that it would be accomplished, completely fulfilled in the new law. Because the goal of the old law was to point to Christ, just like St. John the Baptist did. Behold the Lamb of God. That was the goal of the law. But when St. John the Baptist died, the time of the law came to an end. And then began the time of the gospel, which will last until the end of times. And it was to show this transition from the law to the gospel, from the old to the new covenant, that the church chose for this day, the gospel of the multiplication of the loaves. Because this great miracle took place right after the death of St. John the Baptist, right after the end of the time of the old law. We read in the gospel that our Lord went over to the Sea of Galilee, and he went up into a mountain with his disciples, and a great multitude followed them, but they didn't have what to eat. And then one of the disciples told the Lord, "Here there is a boy who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes. 5 loaves and 2 fishes. So the Lord took the loaves and the fishes from the hands of the boy, and giving thanks, he gave them to his disciples, and the disciples gave them to the multitude. And our Lord fed more than 5,000 people with only 5 loaves and 2 fishes. This is the miracle of the multiplication. However, there is something even greater hidden in the words of the gospel. And if we look carefully, we will be able to see the exact same mystery that St. Paul talks about in his epistle to the Galatians. The transition from the Old Testament to the New Testament. My brethren, that multitude that followed Christ symbolizes the entire world, which was hungry and thirsty, not of bread and water, but of hearing the word of God. And that boy who had the 5 loaves and 2 fishes represents the synagogue of the Jews, who had the 5 books of Moses together with the prophets and the Psalms. And then the Lord took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes from the hands of the boy and gave them to his disciples, and the disciples distributed them to the multitude. Meaning, the Lord took the scriptures from the hands of the synagogue and gave them to his church. And it is the mission of the church to distribute the word of God to the entire world. Our Lord said, "Go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you." So yes, a great miracle took place when the Lord fed more than 5,000 people with only 5 loaves and 2 fishes. But a greater miracle took place when the law gave place to the gospel, and our Lord fed the entire world with his teachings. So a greater miracle took place by the fact that the gospel replaced the law, and our Lord fed the entire world with his teachings. And this spiritual miracle still happens to this day and will continue until the end of times, because Christ will always continue to feed the multitude through the church. And the shepherds of the church are the ones who hold this great mission to feed the people of God with the bread of truth. That bread that comes from the 2 hands of Christ, which means from Holy Scriptures and tradition. The 2 hands of Christ, Holy Scriptures and the tradition, by which we receive the bread of truth. But nowadays, what do we see? We see a shocking reality. Shepherds from the bottom to the top. Being unfaithful to this mandate, being unfaithful to this duty to give the people the bread of Christ. They dare to think that the doctrine of Christ is not good enough. They dare to think that Christ was not merciful enough. So they try to change the gospel. My brethren, I tell you, if anyone, whoever he may be, offers you a bread that does not come from the hands of Christ, if someone teaches a doctrine that does not come from Holy Scriptures and tradition, you must not receive his teaching. You must not receive his bread. Because what he's trying to give you is not the bread of Christ, but the poisoned bread of heresy. And in these times of ours, my brethren, we have to be very careful. So we have to be attentive to receive the bread of truth. However, receiving the bread of truth is not enough, because we also needed to eat this bread to be satiated. Which means that receiving the truth, believing the truth, is not enough. It's not. Because we also needed to put it into practice. We needed to incorporate in our lives the teachings of our Lord Jesus Christ if we want to be saved. Faith alone will not save us, but we have to eat the bread. We needed to put into practice the teachings of the Lord. And if we do so, my brethren, if we keep the true faith and accomplish good works, then we shall be able to rejoice in the Lord in this life and in the life to come, as we look forward to the reward that is promised, to have a place in the heavenly Jerusalem, which is our true motherland, the Jerusalem on high. And that's what we should be looking for during this Lent and each day of our lives, to live in such a way that we'll be able one day to have a place in heaven. Because, my brethren, that is the goal, and I would say the only goal of our lives, to have a place in heaven. The only goal of our lives, to have a place in heaven. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, Amen.